your mind real wide now.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Welcome aboard the Mothership Radio Show. I'm Kevin Gassman. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Wajid Hassan, the author of The Struggle for World Sanity. A Muslim-born yogi mystic reveals a practical solution to solve all problems facing humanity. It's a very deep and interesting discussion. So let's get strange and unusual with Wajid Hassan right here on the Mothership Radio Show.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
What if I told you I'd take you to a place you'd never been and do something to you that's never been done?
You have an interesting past. I mean, you've Pakistan, England to America is, not the normal trip everyone takes.
Right.
How did that get going? And was that a choice by you to leave Pakistan, or was that a family move?
I was born in Pakistan, and my parents moved to England when I was 3 years old. And I was raised in the north of England, near Manchester, till the age of 10. Then from there, we moved to London, went to high school in the East End of London, and spent some time in England. Then went into the technical field, worked as a field service engineer for a number of years, then came out to California, worked in the technical field there, and then got into the arts, into comedy and acting, and was in LA for about 30 years, and then now recently living in North Carolina the last couple of years.
Well, that's so. Quite the cultural shock from Los Angeles to North Carolina. How was the adjustment for you? Was that something you were looking for, kind of slowing down, or was it no choice by yours?
Yeah, I have a family out here, so it's good. You know, it's good to get out of the rat race of LA for a little while.
and here I am coming back into the rat race myself, coming from. You know, Phoenix is kind of a slower city, but it has its moments of a fast city. Now, I know you studied metaphysics as well.
Yeah, I belong to my master's organization. My yogi master was an Englishman by the name of Dr. George King, and he founded the Aetherius Society. So in the background, since the age of 16, I've been doing that. I haven't made it a career or anything like that because, you know, this kind of stuff doesn't really pay the bills. So it was something in the background that I was interested in and, practiced. But it's only recently that I've kind of come out with the book and, relay my experiences to people who want to listen.
Okay, so at the age of teenager, getting into metaphysics, what was it that drew you in? What was the fascination of it?
It's a good question there, Kevin, because coming from Pakistan, living in England, I was raised as a Muslim. I went to the mosque and did the Arabic prayers, read the Quran. At the same time, I was going to a Church of England schools where we had a formal education with Bible study, hymns, carols, and so I had a background of two different ideologies, all going back to the same source. So around 16 was when I came across my own yogi master, and nothing against Islam or Christianity. I respect all religions, but I guess something from the past. I'm a firm believer of reincarnation. Something pricked my consciousness from the past, and I was open to these new age ideologies, which I've been following ever since.
You know, to be in tune with that at that age, I wish I was. You know, I mean, I look back at my past and think, wow, if I only knew or was aware of, you know, the impact or just the, I don't know, it's, you know, because, you know, we all as a society, I think we all need to be aware, more aware of what's really going on, I think. But what is that really going on? And, you know, and I want to get into that with you. You wrote a book, The Struggle for World Sanity. And the byline is a Muslim-born yogi mystic reveals a practical solution to solve all problems facing humanity. And, you know, that's quite a statement to make. is it that simple to solve? And are we talking about an internal struggle for individualism, or are we talking about maybe an internal struggle for society's problems? Like, how do we internally figure out the world's problems?
Probably both. If we figure out our internal problems, we can figure out the world problems, and vice versa. Yeah, it was that was an interesting subtitle to put out. It was, you know, but it's very interesting that when I published the book in Amazon last year, it went straight to number one bestseller on two categories, mysticism and spirituality and UFOs. So it showed, told me that there's a tremendous interest now. People's minds are opening up to these two subjects, which especially the latter has been, you know, wrapped up in conspiracy and fear and whatever. So I wanted to let your listeners know aspects of truth that I've come across and based on my research. Yeah, the solution, and that's another reason why I wrote the book, is that, let's face it, today, you know, if we look around our world, never mind the pandemic, I mean, even what's happening right now, it's these terrible wars, hatred between races, hatred between religions, you know, an economic system that favors a minority that become extremely rich and make a lot of people poor, and political systems around the world that just clash, pollution, and it could just go on and on and on. But the reason I wrote the book was also to give your listeners a sense of hope, a sense that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that things may appear right now to be disastrous and not leading to anything, but based on the visions of my own spiritual guru and the messages that he received from high beings, there is hope for planet Earth and for the race in the years to come.
Can you go into a few of those messages from that, or is that something you just want to keep in the book? Or
I'm not holding anything back. In fact, some of the truths that I want to propound generally are not talked about in the mainstream media. And just to give you a quick background of my master, he was an Englishman, and in his early 20s, he was a section leader for the London Fire Brigade during the Nazi Blitz in World War II over England. And he had the terrible task of, you know, search and rescue and picking up pieces of little children. It really bothered him why all this suffering. And then a premonition from his own past. After the war, he got into serious study of yoga, not only Hatha, but, you know, pranayama, mantra yoga, and other yogas, raja, nani, and to the point where he got into kundalini yoga. And he used to practice yoga for 8 to 10 hours a day on top of his job of, at that time, a London cab driver. Did that for 8 to 10 years till he got to the point where he reached extremely high levels of consciousness, samadhi, cosmic consciousness. And it was then that the beings who control these spacecraft, which we refer to as flying saucers, contacted him. And some tremendous messages were put forward in regards to the current state of affairs, our past, and our future.
A lot of these messages come through in different ways. There's a woman named Dolores Cannon who puts people through past life regressions. And these people talk, and aliens talk through them, basically giving her their message as well. And I always see kind of a commonality with it, you know, that it's not bleak. It's not the end of the world. It's just certain things I think we need to adjust in our ways of life and our ways of living that need to be universal at first. You know, the right to clean water, the right to clean air, the right to have clothes on your back, the right to having a roof over your head, the right to having clean food to eat as well. I mean, that should be a given for every single person. Now, if you want the yacht, you want the mansion, you want something else, then you can go work for that. But I think having that kind of mentality where half of our society, maybe less, I don't know what the numbers are really hell-bent on making sure no one gets a free ride, you know, is really kind of that's the rub, really, what we're kind of facing here. Is how do you convince a bunch of people that says, hey, it's okay to give people free food, free water, free shelter to help them, you know, because they need help, and then just to make them more of a productive member of our society?
Well, the thing is, Kevin, what we need right now is we don't need any more hatred and wars, and we don't need any more inequalities. What we need now is a change of consciousness. The beings that contacted my master, I refer to them as cosmic masters. They're not only advanced scientifically millions of years, but also I believe they're advanced spiritually millions of years ahead of us. And they've been in the skies for the last 18 million years. And you asked about some of the messages that came through. In the early 1960s, Dr. King wrote a book called The Nine Freedoms. And in there, not only outlines the evolutionary cycle of mankind for the future, but also he put in the true history of mankind. Now, a yogi master, it doesn't matter if he's in the West or in the East or in India, they have tremendous powers. They can, you know, when they raise the internal kundalini power, they can levitate, go through walls, have tremendous healing. One thing yogi master can do is you can look at your aura and read on your aura your pretty much your past lives. And my master read my aura once and validated a past life that I had. But on a larger scale, they're able to also project from the physical body in a high state of consciousness. And as you know, our planet Earth is not just a piece of rock, but a wonderful living, breathing goddess. And he was able to study her aura, which in the East has been referred to as the Akashic Records. And in there, he got a, you know, three-dimensional color history of the whole human race. And what he said was that 18 million years ago, we were actually a resident on another planet in this solar system by the name of Maldek, which orbited between Jupiter and Mars. Now, Maldek, he said, was extremely advanced scientifically. He said robots took care of all the menial tasks on this planet. We had an abundance of food. Basically, we lived in utopia. And, you know, the Bible talks about Adam and Eve and the fall in the Garden of Eden. And even though it's a fairy story, kind of a fairy story, as it's a fairy story with a great moral, because what Dr. King said, that the scientists on Maldek caught this lust for greed and power, and in their lust for greed and power, they invented a hydrogen bomb, which was 10,000 more times powerful than the one that we have on planet Earth today, and completely destroyed the planet Maldek, which is now the asteroid belt. And interestingly enough, scientists are now revealing that the asteroid belt was indeed a planet at one time that was destroyed. And so the cosmic hierarchy, we were all really, so that's something that your listeners may have something to ponder, that we're actually all extraterrestrial. We're not actually from planet Earth. But planet Earth herself was approached because mankind needed another planet in order to reincarnate and have the experience cycle to go back, into evolution and go back to the divine source. So she was approached 18 million years ago and asked if she would hold up her evolution and allow this race of atomic mutants to reincarnate on her body, which she agreed to do. And at that time, Dr. King said there was an advanced civilization by the name of Adamic Man, which cared for these atomic mutants, which we were. We just murdered a whole planet. And over the millions of years, another civilization rose by the name of Lemuria. Now, Lemuria also fell under an atomic war. Again, Lemuria was very high spiritually and scientifically than the civilization we have today. And then on and off a teeming world, radioactive world, over thousands of years, another civilization by the name of Atlantis came forth. And if you read some of the ancient Vedic scriptures, which go back 20,000 years, they talk about vimanas and beams of rays and wars that occurred. I think the Mahabharata talks about these wars. And what Dr. King said is on Atlantis, they had two sides. One made a bomb called the Brahma weapon, the weapon of God. And another side made an atomic, controllable atomic ray called Indra's dart. And down went Atlantis under the Great Flood. The Earth flipped on her axis and down she went. And now coming to modern times, you know, in the, you know, we just finished this most terrible purge of humanity called World War One and Two. And what did we do? We started opening up the atom again, started exploding the atom and hydrogen bombs in the 50s and 60s. And it was known at that time by the cosmic masters of this system that the planet Earth was due to die. And so a tremendous amount of flying saucer activity was seen in the skies, and they intervene on our behalf by absorbing a tremendous amount of radioactive fallout, not only saving the planet, but also saving all of mankind. And it was at that time that Dr. King was contacted by these beings. So really, in reality, they're pretty much our saviors. They're watching us, they're looking after us, they're sending messages of hope, they're asking the civilization, the terrestrial civilization, they're not asking Americans or Arabs or Russians or Christians or Jews, they're telling the whole human race, listen, you're one and you need to rise, and the time is now come. Either you make this choice or you go back into a regression. And that, that's the gist of their message right now. And there's certain factors also that are coming to being, which will answer why there's an urgency at this time.
No, that's fascinating. And I've read about the Lemura and the race people that were on there. And you went back further than I... there's a video online that kind of does talk about that a little bit, and it's an animated video, and it moves really fast, but it really talks about what you're talking about. And you know, when I hear that kind of story and I hear it from different sources and it's right in line to me, that kind of justifies a little bit more than, you know, having it just be one person telling you this is the way it is. And but you right. have like kind of the way you could justify, you know, alien abductions. You know, the stories are the same all across the world. How can these people get together and collaborate, you know, and corroborate? That's not going to happen. So you got to kind of open up and think, maybe this really is happening. Maybe this is real, and this is the history of what our planet is about. They've been, UFOs have been keeping an eye on us. They've been keeping us in check, if you will. I know that, I mean, maybe I've heard before where if we go too bananas out here, you know, I mean, it's the ripple effect across the universe. I mean, it's we... have that impact. And so I'm sure they want to keep us in check and say, slow down, man, slow down. I mean, as far as society goes, you know, the Industrial Revolution was pretty much the beginning of, you know, us working hard. And, we've kind of gone too fast for our own good. You know, I mean, you look at societies and, you know, when you're a 5-year-old in America, you have a bank account. When you're a 5-year-old in, you know, in the jungles of the Amazon, you're on ayahuasca. So there's a different, you know, way of approaching life on this planet, if you will.
Well, we've reached a stage now, Kevin, where the tide, I believe this is the beginning of the end of humanity as we know it. The tide of scientific advancement and materialism has only regressed us more. The best brains on the planet are more into the destruction of the planet and, making new warfare weaponry than they are as far as, you know. Of course, there's other aspects of humanity that are caring for each other as well. But... you know, the cosmic masters refer us as a very savage, warlike, primitive race. And, you know, that's the way we are. And what they're saying is there's only one solution in regards to, the way we've regressed is, and that is coming back to a spiritual solution, is to go back to where we used to be, what we used to be like. We were very advanced beings at one time, and we've evolved. And so... there's two factors involved right now that's pushing mankind. There is a spiritual renaissance that's occurring. Some people call it the Great Reset. Actually, just coming back to alien abductions, Dr. King once asked the cosmic masters. He said, "How long would it take for you to take over this planet?" And they said between 10 and 15 minutes. So in regards to alien abductions, again, I believe that's that's more to do with lower astral demonic kind of possessions. And I don't think that an advanced civilizations in this solar system, if they wanted, if they were belligerent, they could easily take over or abduct anybody. I don't think it's that. I think it's a line of thought that's been created to create fear.
That's fascinating, real quick. If it's demonic possession to a certain degree, simulating a UFO style abduction, if that's just what they're thinking that it's supposed to be, that's a fascinating angle. I never looked at it that way.
Well, just based on Hindu and Buddhist philosophies, we know that there's other realms of existence when we die and before we reincarnate back. And Dr. King projected to these realms. And he said there's four realms below us called the lower astral realms, where, you know, according to our vibrations, that's where we go. If we're a mass murderer or whatever, that's where we go. And those places are not very nice, but they're also highly intelligent, scientifically advanced beings down there as well. And then there's six levels above us. So people, you know, are not even aware of the levels of existence on this planet. And so, you know, I agree with the scientists. If you went to places like Mars or Venus or Jupiter in a physical body, that the possibility of life probably won't exist on those planes of existence. But Dr. King wrote another book in the 50s called You Are Responsible, where he talked about projecting to Mars and Venus and conveying with advanced civilizations. Now, these civilizations are on a higher vibratory sequence. So, of course, unless you're psychic or you could project to these planes, we can't see them. They sometimes come down to us, but we have to go and approach them. So he said, even if you lived on Mars for 200 years, you may not even detect an advanced civilization because they're on a higher frequency. So that's another aspect which people need to be aware that they are extremely advanced and they live on higher vibrations. And the fact that we can't see them does not mean that they exist. Because, just based on those transmissions that we've received. And, you know, I'm not here to push any ideology. I'm just saying that your listeners need to be open-minded, do their own research. If they want to know more about the context with Dr. King, they can go to his organization's website, which is aetherius.org, aetherius.org. And so... coming back to this spiritual renaissance, there's two aspects of what's happening right now, which is very positive. The first one, of course, is that astrologically speaking, we're now in the Aquarian Age, and the Aquarian Age is demanding that we rise, that we serve, that we help this rays of consciousness pushed by the planet configurations, is asking us to rise and serve and help the planet and each other. And another aspect is that in 1964, on July the 8th, the cosmic beings got together and they sent a tremendous amount of spiritual energy into Mother Earth, which was called the primary initiation of Earth. And she could have released that energy and got back to her original evolutionary status, but because of her compassion for mankind, she's releasing these energies very slowly every year. So we're also getting a rise of vibration of Mother Earth. And so the cosmic master stated, you know, in the 50s and 60s that this will bring a climate change, which is already occurring. So don't believe that climate change is due to carbon emissions. That's just a fraction of what the climate change is actually doing. The ionosphere is being slowly, gradually taken down. The ultraviolet rays are increasing, which is raising the heat level on the planet, which is actually very beneficial for the planet herself. And so we as a race now have to conform to the age of Aquarius, the raising of the vibrations of the Mother Earth. And so it's our responsibility, if we actually want to stay on planet Earth, is to start raising our vibrations.
let me ask you about, we talk about the different levels. You know, I want to go back to just a little bit of that real quick. But for the most part, here on planet Earth, here we are, you know, I'm at a level of vibration, you're at a level of, but we're all on our own little level of vibration, no matter what it is. So when you have people who are in power, who don't have empathy, and who just want to be greedy, and you wanted us to be, you know, powerful and what have you, how can that kind of mentality end? You know, how do we create a society where all of us are empathetic? But is that possible? I mean, just because we're so differently wired that there really are two different species of human beings. You have you know what I'm saying right here?
Well, when they're not. There isn't two different species of human beings. The warmongers and the polluters and the evil people on this planet are just as close to us as our family. And that's an aspect of realization that I find hard to swallow. Dr. King made himself very unpopular in the 60s when he said that the communist Chinese are just as close to your children as you are. And you know, I made myself unpopular as well in my book when I said that the terrorists are just as close to your family. We are metaphysically one entity. And if somebody murders somebody, it brings down the whole populace that much more in a degree. And of course, if somebody heals and raises somebody, it's the same thing. And back in the 70s, when they had the oil embargo and energy shortage and the world was talking about an energy crisis, Dr. King came forward and he says the only energy crisis facing mankind is a spiritual energy crisis. He says, if you fix that crisis, all other crises, both between countries and even in your personal life, will automatically be solved. And, you know, we talk about starvation, famine, but you know, we're spiritual beings in physical bodies, and right now we're starving our spiritual bodies by not channeling this energy, which is very, very real. It's not airy fairy spiritual energy. I mean, one of the greatest healers on this planet was the Master Jesus, using this spiritual pranic energy coming from the sun, raising the dead, you know, making the lame walk, making people see. It's the same spiritual energy. And what the cosmic masters are saying is, now we need to start sending this tangible energy. I mean, one thing your listeners can do as a way of, you know, it's like electricity, you know, is on a particular octave of vibration. We don't see it, but we know what it does. And the same with spiritual energy. Unless you're psychic, you can't really see it. But
you can feel it, though, because, right?
I mean, exactly.
When you're with someone who's high energy, you're exhausted after you leave them. You know, they're just so much. And a lot of them are, I just can't handle that person so much. I can only take that person in, you know, in bits. So, yeah, I mean, so when we're people who are unaware of our energy, you know, we watch the news, it's fear-mongered, you know, it's a scary world out there. It really keeps your vibration down. It really does. I mean, you know, and, you know, I go, when I see my mom watching the news, and I don't watch the news, but I hear it, you know, I'm hearing screaming, I'm hearing yelling, right. I'm hearing right. arguments. I'm like, that's not what you want in your house. That's not the kind of vibe you want flowing through your house, through your body. And yeah, is there an awakening going on? Are we becoming more aware of these types of energies? I am. I've never would have thought of this, you know, 10 years ago, you know, but obviously somehow, you know, the messages I'm seeing a little bit more clearer. I'm becoming more aware of how my personal energy affects other people, how I can affect people in a positive way, in a better way. I'm learning how to raise my energy, my vibration, and, you know, because it's kind of confusing for a lot of people. It's like, how do I raise my vibration? What does that mean? And the only thing I can think of is like, well, if you're happy and, you know, you're excited about something, it's that feeling. You know, it's that kind of energy you feel inside because you're pumped up about it. You know, you might not dance on the wall, you know, but I feel like, you know, we need to become more in tune with how our energies affect us. And I think when you realize that being more positive has a better effect on you, I think more people would be more apt to try it. But how do you get through the noise and the news that people are consuming on a 24/7 basis? How do you get to those people?
I think those are that specially designed by forces of that want us to keep us controlled.
Yeah, I agree.
And hypnotized over the centuries.
Don't look over here. Don't look at the real thing going on over there.
Yeah.
Let's just focus on what's going on.
Yeah.
Here.
If it bleeds, it leads. That's right. Their motto, and you know, and it's designed to keep us down. Absolutely, as much as materialism. Materialism, the cosmic master said, is a cancer in the heart of spiritual man, because, you know, we're in debt, we're always worrying about our next meal, and we go to work, and there's this kind of slave-like mentality in regards to the work ethic, even in this country and many other countries. And so what they're saying is, you know, is instead of looking down at our smartphones, we need to start looking up to the skies for inspiration. In the book, The Nine Freedoms, Dr. King actually talked about projecting to a giant spacecraft that periodically comes into orbit of Earth around the year. In fact, it's in orbit right now. It's by the name of satellite number 3. He said it was about a mile and a half long. And he met some of the beings that control this vessel. He said they were about 7 feet tall, humanoid, in a one-piece silver suit with long flowing hair down to their shoulders. And what he observed was actually extremely complex radionic computer systems that they have on board, which they described as beyond the imagination of even the greatest scientist on this earth. And that's how advanced they are spiritually. Now, one of the messages, again, that Dr. King got was that on this spacecraft, they have, you talk about vibrational sequence, they have a complete vibrational sequence of every man, woman, child, plant, rock, animal, fish on this planet. So a complete dossier is held on all of us that they've kept over the millions of years that we have been on planet Earth. Now, why do they have that? Again, like I said, not only are they advanced scientifically, but they're also advanced spiritually. And what they can do, if you look at basic Earth science these days with a GPS satellite, you can pinpoint anybody on the planet with a cell phone. That's just basic Earth technology. If you advance that millions of years, with this, they said that speed of thought through the physical body is like 600 miles an hour, but in free space, it's like 4 million times the speed of light. We can actually telepathically tune in to the cosmic masters, to this spacecraft, and just ask for this energy, and they will beam down a tremendous amount of spiritual power down to us individually, and all we have to do is think of them. So we can actually contact these beings telepathically, mentally. We may not get a message from them or a sighting, but we will receive tremendous spiritual energy that they're sending to us at this particular time to help raise our consciousness. The reason Dr. King was chosen, because they're at a very high stage of evolution. So me, you, or anybody normal Earthman can't really communicate with them because they're on a such a high frequency level. So it needed a yogi master like my master to raise his consciousness to their level of consciousness. In other words, raise the power
right
to the point where he could go into cosmic consciousness and be contacted. And so unless we get to that stage, we can't really communicate with them. But just by thought, they can pinpoint any person on the planet or a group of people, like a million people at a time, and send power to them. And what the cosmic masters are saying is that the next revolution on this planet is a mental, spiritual, nonviolent revolution, which, coming back again, is to change the consciousness of the race and send out this energy, which is L-O-V-E, love, spiritual energy, the energy of love, and not destroy, but uplift and change the hearts of the politicians, change the hearts of the generals in a way to allow them to raise their consciousness.
And that's what you wrote the book called The Struggle for World Sanity. So it's to, you know, again, you know, it goes back to those who are in charge. Is how do you change their mind? How do you get, you
know? Well, changing somebody's mind is black magic.
Okay, so let's go another route. Yes, I
raising their consciousness.
Okay, raising their consciousness. Different. So how do you, you know, we have a sect of our society, whether it's here in America or maybe even around the world, of just of a lot of people who. They are set in their ways, you know, they like the old way, the way it was. You know, we're seeing that generation gap breaking right now. We do. There's, you know, it's an older generation, obviously, that's still, you know, not willing to move along with everyone else in a sense. Well, if I had a struggle, you had a struggle. You have to struggle. I can't forego, you know, what I went through to give you an easier life because it was really tough for me. Why should you get a free ride? And I'm sure that mentality is around the whole world. I mean, I really feel like there are people around the whole world that have that kind of feeling about other people. So really, you talk about love. You want to get into that, you know, love your brother, love your sister, you know, love your mother, love your, you know, whatever, love everything in a sense. And but there's that takes generations. That's going to take, you know, centuries probably. At least it feels like it would. Unless there's something that's really big that happens that we can really like drop everything and go, whoa, we need to straighten up.
Well, Kevin, you know, it took millions of years to reach the state we're in right now. And to suddenly, you know, to have this far-fetched dream that everything's going to change tomorrow, that's not going to be the reality. And I agree with you. It may take hundreds of years for this renaissance, this new age to come into being. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, not even the next 100 years. But it started. And it's a different change now because it's pushing mankind. It's not. It's either you change, conform, or you leave. It's that. It's reached that point.
I agree with you. I totally feel that it's the all the problems kind of are boiling to the surface. You know,
yes.
I mean, we're seeing it with social strife and unequal treatment of people. This is extremely unacceptable as this planet. Because who are you to tell anybody else how to live on this planet? Who put you here? Who put me here? We're all equal. We're all the same. It's just a matter of, you know, how we grow up and how we live, and we're just not on the same page.
And what you have to understand, and you probably appreciate it, and I'm sure your listeners will appreciate it, the thoughts are real. You know, thought forms are real just because we can't see them. The thought of hate is just as real. It's just as real as a physical punch in your face when you send hate to somebody because it pierces their aura and causes destruction, which will reflect onto their physical body. Now, look at this current situation in like Israel and Palestine right now. They're, you know, it's just hate energies towards each other, which is causing more hate. And in the end, it just escalates into just bloodshed and violence.
It goes nowhere.
It goes nowhere. And so the solution is prayer and sending out this white light and transforming. I mean, if both sides started praying for each other, the conflict would automatically be resolved. But they're so engrossed in their hatred, in their religious ideologies, that no side is willing to budge and no side is willing to forgive.
Right. So that's, I mean, obviously what you need to break that cycle. I mean, that cycle needs to break. I mean, and that's, it's, and I see that a lot in today's world as well, you know, breaking cycles, you know, the family cycle, you know, don't be the same as, you know, your dad was, or the same as his dad was and what have you. And I feel like I'm kind of the cycle breaker in my family, to be honest with you. You know, what I've been looking into the practice of mindfulness and being aware of my thoughts.
Beautiful, beautiful practice.
I mean, I've only been looking into it for a couple of weeks, but it's changed my life already. It really has, because I think before I speak more now than I ever have, I'm aware of my surroundings. I'm aware of other people and their situations as well. I'm trying to pick up a little bit more on that so I don't come in and offend in a way that I don't think I am, or you know what I'm saying? Because you come in with such a naive, entrance into someone's life, you know, you could be really offensive to them. So I think it's having, you know, more humility, I guess you could say, and it, as I found a little bit more in that coming with my mindfulness, is that, I mean, I'm new to this, so.
Yeah, one aspect of you know, spiritual evolution is mindfulness, being aware of your thoughts and being aware of being in the now, not focusing too much on the past or the future. Very easy to talk about, not easy to do,
but
you know, just like anything, you just have to practice it. And you know, and if people are not familiar about how to send this power, this love energy, you know, we have psychic sensors in our bodies. They can stand in front of a mirror, just raise their hands, and just, they can just send out white light from the palm of the hands and the heart center, which is 6 inches in front of the breastbone. They can just visualize this light in the mirror, and it automatically, it'll reflect, and you can feel this tingling around your aura and your fingers, which again proves that it's a very tangible energy. And if people don't know how to radiate this energy, what the cosmic masters are saying is that it doesn't matter what race or religion you are, you just channel this energy and it will be beamed down to you. You don't even have to believe in a divine source, so long as you just have this love for people and the planet and the and you know, all the life streams that live in there, you will be sent this energy. I belong to a group of people. We get together regularly on a daily basis online, as a group of people in over 50 countries, and we pump out this energy on a regular basis. So if people don't know about it, they can join us. Again, there's no money involved, but they could go to the website 12blessings.org, the number 12 being numerical, 12blessings.org, and just join us and feel this radiation of power.
It's
better to do it in a group in a way than try to do it individually, because there is a metaphysical link and a contact, and then we can send out the power together. Sometimes it's better to do that.
That's the power humans have. We don't know. We haven't learned about it. And again, probably part of the setup of our society has kind of left that part out, you know. They don't need to know about this.
Marion Williamson said a beautiful statement once. I think Nelson Mandela quoted her at one time. Was that it's not what we are that we fear, it's what we potentially can be that we fear. We are tremendously powerful beings. The cosmic masters refer to us as gods. They don't refer to us as microbe terrestrial germs. They say, look, you're the gods that used to be. And you're right, people in power, even in religious circles, in political circles, military circles, they don't want us to conform and be part of them. They want to control us. And what the higher beings are saying, no, you know, you were gods at one time, you were advanced spiritual beings, come and join us, come and be part of the cosmic family. That itself is a thought which is extraterrestrial, because, you know, terrestrial man, it doesn't want anybody in power, doesn't want anybody to come to power with them. But that's what, again, that's one of the big messages that they're throwing out, is rise and become the gods that you used to be at one time.
Wow. Can I take that at UCLA? I'll take that course. I'll take the 101. It's just fascinating stuff, you know, and I think spreading this kind of message is what I like to do. I think people out there need to be aware of this, is that this is out there, you know. I mean, it's the lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So everyone has to be ready to do this when they want to. I mean, everyone's on their own path. Everyone has their own timeline. So,
well, there is an urgency now, Kevin, than there wasn't before. This raising of vibration has started. So it's not a case of, well, maybe I'll catch it in the next life. It's a case of no, I gotta do something now. Also, you know, we have a responsibility to the younger generations. Do we want to die leaving some kind of legacy that we did something, or do we want to leave them on a planet, you know, that's just tottering on the brink of destruction.
You mentioned the end of humanity. So dive real quick into that as far as describing what you mean by that.
It is the beginning of the end of humanity. The difference now between after the destruction of Maldek, Lemuria, and Atlantis is that now we've reached this crossroads. And if we don't conform to these higher vibrationally sequences and raise our vibrations according to the Aquarian age and the raising of the Mother Earth, then we've been told in mercy, those who can't handle these vibrations, after they die, they will actually be taken from this planet to reincarnate on another planet. They mentioned this planet, which scientists have now beginning to reveal that it is in existence. It's on the other side of the solar system from the Earth. We can't physically see it, but based on their calculations by the pull of Uranus and Neptune, they know it's there. They figured it out to be like 10 times the size of Earth. And the cosmic masters, and before the scientists even found Planet X, said that this is a planet that people will be going to who can't conform to this new spiritual renaissance. And so that's the difference now, is that, you know, no longer will we be allowed to stay on this planet in the next few centuries with this raising of vibrations. If we conform and raise our vibrations with it, we will stay. But those who don't, you know, the warmongers and the polluters and, you know, the people who are doing dire things against mankind, they will go to this other planet and start reliving our terrible bloody history on that planet. So that's the major difference right now.
What would you give as far as advice to people who are listening, something simple they could do to raise their vibration?
Something very simple is, like I say, what I said on the book is the only solution is to send out. Because it's so simple, people don't get it. Like if it's complicated, people will maybe go, oh, this is interesting.
Right.
But it's so simple. All they're asking is to bring the energy down and send it out. That's all they're asking. They do all the work. They work 24 hours a day on their spacecraft, beaming this energy down. All we have to do is to accept it and send it out. That's all there is to it. It's really not rocket science.
Right, but send it out how? What do you mean by send it out?
You can send it out, you know, from your two psychic centers in the palm of your hand,
right,
and from the heart center. And you can send it out, you know, like to the war torn area of the Middle East right now for peace.
Okay,
you can send it out in fact, today a friend of mine doing research, he said there's actually 43 active wars going on this planet right now on top of the one on the Middle East. Did you know that? So we can send it out to that. We can send it out to the planet to raise a planet. We can send it out to children who are starving. We can send it out to people who are homeless. You know,
right.
I mean, the list goes infinitum. There's so much to be sent out.
Right. And we're talking on an individual basis. You can do this on your own, but, you know, both. And if it was on the top of the news, and if it was on every paper, and it was on every cable station that says, hey, this Saturday, June 5th, the whole world is going to unite love-in, you know what I mean? Kind of thing like that, kind of like a, you know, we're going to send a love vibration out to the whole world, everybody. That's what we need, don't we? We need that kind of megaphone.
Yeah, that brought tingling up and down my spine when you said that, because that's really what's needed and not what the media is throwing out right now. And it's a deliberate way of keeping us down.
Yeah.
Dr. King mentioned that he got a transmission once where they talked about another race in this galaxy, another part of the galaxy that was actually going through a similar situation that we are right now. And they opened themselves up to the cosmic beings, and they as a civilization, they opened themselves up to the spiritual vibrations coming down from their spacecraft, coming down from the cosmos. And they said within 50 years, the whole planet completely changed. So, yeah, you summed it up, brother. I mean, that's it. There is no other solution. I mean, like Lao Tse said, you know, the journey of a thousand steps starts with a single a journey of a thousand miles starts with a single
we need like step.
And so yeah
we could
somebody has to start absolutely
the love day absolutely. The love in day, you know, everyone around the world, you know, the whole day long. I don't know, it just seems like, you know, when you're attacking something so large, like such a negative entity that's kind of been keeping people down and in poverty and, yes. and in hunger, when you're shooting them a positive from here and a positive from here, it's really not doing the damage it's supposed to be doing. It's just hitting the shield, if you will. And I'm thinking that, you know, kind of like in a, you know, a big, huge shield.
It's like a monster that's engulfed the earth. A dark monster. But what the cosmic master said, they said in the darkness shines the smallest light, and that light, once it's they're saying even like 300 spiritually minded people can change the tide of mankind. So yeah. It doesn't need a lot of people, because the power that they've been sent through is tremendous. It's more powerful now than it's ever been. So we're given spiritual power that we never had in the past as well, because these are dark times.
Right. Okay. So you have, say, maybe you not need everybody sending that, but you need everyone's awareness that this is going on, I think. You know, you need everybody to aware that, hey, we've hired these soldiers over here who are going to send all the love beams we can send, you know. We're backing you. Is that mean that's another kind of mentality in a sense?
Yeah.
So if we highlighted X amount of people, that these are our energy warriors, everyone, I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing stuff at the wall, but
well, they have with the kind of power they have, they could completely transform this planet, but they're not allowed by the law of karma, because they can't come down to us. We have to go to them. Mm-hmm. We have to raise our vibrations to them. But once we do, they can act for us. Well, some people say, some people say, oh, how come they don't land openly? Well, you know, there was another transmission. They said, well, you asked for a sign from us. How about you give us a sign? Hmm. You know, how about you change? Would you greet us with love and understanding, or with a nuclear warhead? You know?
Well, I know the answer to that for a lot of people would be bring your guns to the UFO sighting, you know?
Exactly.
And that's the rub of humanity right there. Until that kind of antiquated mentality of humanity can go away and we can all agree on a new way of living for all of us, then it's at least we are at awareness of it, and at least the change is beginning, like you say, and I believe you're right. I believe this is the beginning of the shift, and there's just a lot of cleaning up that needs to be done before we move forward. That's all there is. Wajid Hassan, the book is The Struggle for World Sanity, a Muslim-born yogi mystic, reveals a practical solution to solve all problems facing humanity. I thank you for your time, man. I really do. It's been a very fascinating hour to talk with you. Learn something new as always, and appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure. And if people want to get the book, it's on Amazon under Kindle, print, and audiobook.
And just real quick, as far as just kind of the comic in me, because I do a little comedy as well. It's Jamal Abdul Wajid Hassan Khan. So just out of my ignorance, how do you choose which names to use for you?
that's the name I was officially born with.
Okay.
And then when we moved to England, I use my regular name, which is Wajid Hassan.
Okay. So that's just
I threw that name out primarily because it's different. It's
right,
not
okay.
Every day that an author is named Jamal Abdul Wajid Hassan Khan. So
okay.
It's more of a so that people get noticed.
Yeah.
Who is this dude?
Right. No, I totally get it. I'm just, that's funny. We're right on. Right. I do appreciate it. And good luck with your book, and good luck with sharing your message as well. I'll do my best with it with this podcast, and I'm going to continue on with this type of conversation with whoever whoever I talk to, you know, I'm not going to be like, hey, do you know about this? You know about this? I think it has to come up in a natural kind of, you know, in a natural way. Otherwise, yeah, you know, people might get turned off by that. So I think there's a fine line of how to approach someone when you're dealing with energies, you know.
Exactly. Thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
Once again, I do want to thank Wajid Hassan for joining me on the show. The Struggle for World Sanity is the book. A Muslim-born yogi mystic reveals a practical solution to solve all problems facing humanity. I took a lot from this interview, and ever since I talked to him, it's kind of always been on the back of my mind of ways we can change our personal life, really, because that's kind of where it starts. So if you... you know, stay positive. Think about the good things you have going on in your life. You know, I think that's the one of the underlying messages from the book that I got away from it. So I don't know if you did well or not, but hopefully you got something positive out of this interview. And I do appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to the program. And it does mean a lot to me. So thank you for doing so. The MothershipRadioShow.com. The podcast is available on all platforms, basically Apple, Google, and Spotify, as well as Anchor.fm. And we're also on SoundCloud, too. So if you're listening on SoundCloud, thank you so much. But all the past shows are on the MothershipRadioShow.com. Other than that, my name is Kevin Gassman, reminding you to stay strange and unusual, my friends. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the Mothership Radio Show.
Thank you, and keep watching the sky.
All right, kid, here's the deal. At any given time, there are around 1,500 aliens on the planet. Most of them right here in Manhattan. And most of them are decent enough. They're just trying to make a living.
Cab drivers.
Not as many as you'd think. Humans, for the most part, don't have a clue. They don't want one or need one either. They're happy. They think they have a good bead on things.
Well, why the big secret? People are smart. They can handle it.
A person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it. 1,500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was the center of the universe. 500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was flat. And 15 minutes ago, you knew that people were alone on this planet.
Wake up!